Hey guys, it's Drew, letting you know that Tom and Chi is proud to sponsor the Court of Nerds and Grand Rapids Comic Con. Stop by their setup in the main hall for $4 grilled cheese classics with fresh tomatoes, mozzarella, and gooey cheddar. $4 barbecue and bacon grillers, and $4 GCDs, Tom and Chi's fantastic grilled cheese donut. Top it all off with the grilling joke, a Comic-Con special GCD with blueberry mascarpone, graham crackers, and Pop Rocks. Eat what's fun, Tom and Chi. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another scintillating episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that can't pay attention for more than 5 seconds. I'm Butterflies.
I'm Drew. Already looking at something else. Yeah. I'm Stacy.
I'm John.
Squirt.
And we are your Court of Nerds, barely assembled and hanging together. We are brought to you, of course, by Grand Rapids Comic Con, coming up October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos, the Amway, and all over downtown Grand Rapids. Get the full schedule and tickets at grcomiccon.com. Things are falling over and breaking here. Don't worry about it. Keep going. Can you just start? We'll fix it in post. Because we have a big announcement to make.
Big Woo-hoo! Announcement.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to welcome our second ever sponsor to Court of Nerds.
We have one sponsor, yes.
But what
My mouth is drooling.
Sponsor?
My mouth is drooling just thinking about it.
Oh, God, I know. Tom and Chi of Granville, now sponsors of your Court of Nerds podcast.
Yay!
You'll be able to eat their delicious food at Comic-Con. You'll be able to talk to us about Tom and Chi at Comic-Con. And you will be able to enjoy their many delicious flavors, a lot of them grilled on donuts.
Yes.
Tom and Chi in Granville, check them out. Like them on Facebook today. They are officially close, personal friends with the Court of Nerds. That being said, all the business out of the way. John, you got the news?
I got the news.
John's got the news.
Hello. In the movie news.
This is so funny every time.
It's
never
going to
stop.
It's the face that he gives.
Not a visual medium.
Not a visual medium.
Anyway. You'll dig this, Drew. Teen Titans Go is getting a full-length movie coming to the big screen.
Ooh, wait!
Warner Bros. Confirms a July 27th, 2018 release date, but no other information is available about the project.
So, because there's no information going to be available, because it's going to be madcap zanery.
Yeah, for sure. But, of course, there's also a live-action Titan series in the works that will launch a direct-to-consumer digital service. Most of the principal cast is locked down for that, but we are yet to see who will be playing Beast Boy and Cyborg. So I wonder what DC's going to do with that whole digital service thing. It's going to be interesting.
You're going to see a lot of their stuff that you're enjoying right now on Netflix and Hulu moved. It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
I say you, it gone. It's going to go. I think season 3 of Young Justice will only be available on that DC streaming service. And it's going to drive people like me bonkers because I'm not paying for another damn streaming service.
Well, everybody's doing it now. Even CBS is doing it and people are getting mad because apparently they can't watch Star Trek Discovery because it's only going to be on the streaming service or something like that. And it's $6 a month. I could be very wrong. But I swear that's what I read. It's something article on CNN, you know, that fake news one. Anyway, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, took top spot at the box office with $39 million over the weekend.
Ah, suck it, clown!
Beating out back-to-back week champ It, which also was given a September 6th, 2019 sequel release date. As the box office comes back in form in September, nearing record highs, go and read the spoiler-free review by our very own Drew at thecourtofnerds.com.
And keep your eyes out for a spoiler-filled review from the always contentious Ben Raven.
Yeah. Speaking of Ben, in wrestling news...
Nice transition.
Yeah.
A+.
WWE No Mercy happened this weekend. We saw the teeth knocked out of Cesaro in the best match of the night in the tag teams.
Did you read the report?
No.
His teeth were actually knocked up into his skull.
Oh, that's what it was. Because
yeah.
It looked like there were little, like, tiny chiclets up there, but...
No, his teeth... He went
serious?
For, yeah. His teeth, God. He hit his face on the ring post, and it knocked his teeth up into his skull.
There was blood everywhere. It was awesome.
Oh, it was a massacre.
Anyway, with the tag team rematch, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose coming out victorious once again to retain their titles. The Weasel, known as Enzo Amore, kicked his way to beating Neville in the controversial ending to the Cruiserweight title. The Man, Finn Balor, took on the God Bray Wyatt and proved him to be puny. Alexa Bliss retained
hold on,
her.
Hold on,
raw...
how long did you work on that?
Oh, that was just quick, man. I came up with that real quick, but I liked it. Alexa Bliss retained her Raw Championship for at least the next 30 days until the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka, makes her debut at TLC. Tables, ladders, and chairs. John Cena said, "There, I put you over. Don't fuck this up." As Roman Reigns proved, he didn't actually say that, but as Roman Reigns proved, his yard is greener than the 16-time champs. John Cena didn't retire, but don't be surprised if he doesn't come back until 2018, because he has like 4 or 5 movies he's doing. It's nuts.
Yeah, he's on the slate right now for, what is it, Mania?
And Bump?
Survivor Series. It's Survivor Series he's on the roster for right now. But
right.
There are a lot of people speculating Cena won't be back until just before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Did you? Do we want to share the other rumor that we saw?
Oh, the Shield might
that
they're at TLC.
Yeah,
come back,
which is incredible because John, I'm not sure if you're aware of this because I'm pretty nerdy when it comes to the Shield. They made their debut at TLC. Their first match ever as a tag team was at TLC, so it would be fitting for the trio to reunite and start wreaking havoc at TLC once again.
Well, plug your ears real quick, Drew, because last night on Monday Night Raw, Miz and the Miztourage beat the crap out of Roman Reigns after Roman Reigns beat the Miz, and then they all did the whole Shield thing at the end. So yeah, it's freaking happening.
You
anyway,
said last night again, and this
last night
not...
on Monday, whatever. Jeez,
it's live.
And the Monster
oh,
Among
good,
Men.
Not, you're
oh,
good.
You're good.
You can unplug.
What?
You can unplug your
What's
ears.
What's happening?
You're good.
Oh, okay.
And the Monster Among Men couldn't handle the trips to Suplex City as the Beast Brock Lesnar retains the Universal Title. Blah blah blah.
Blah blah blah.
Ugh. In spoiler news, ha, you thought Frieza had a lot of forms? Dragon Ball Super is about to unveil Goku's next transformation, and it will be the franchise's most unbelievable moment yet. The Tournament of Power is heating up in the super-anticipated one-hour special. Goku and the rest of Universe 7 wage a super-fierce battle against Universe 11. What the heck does that mean? I don't really know, but Goku's eyes are silver. What does it mean? Find out. In October.
I bet his power level's over 9,000.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be up there. And
y'all are speaking Greek.
Also,
right now.
In spoiler news, Marvel Legacy, guess who's back? Back again.
Guess who's back?
Wolvie's back. Please tell Grant. Logan is back, people. After 3 years of a Logan-free Marvel universe, his claws are popped and ready for action, and he has something of note: an Infinity Stone. Why is he back? How is he back? And why does he have an Infinity Stone?
Oh,
are all part of a story.
Anyone going to read this Marvel shit show?
Either way. Well, Grant will probably now. All part of a story that is going to unveil soon in some unusual places. Marvel Legacy hits stands on September 27th. And I bet you didn't know this news. After a year of striking, unionized video game voice actors just tentatively agreed to end their boycott against 11 game companies. A new Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists press release said, voice actors had demanded residual payments, better protections for their voice, and more transparency about what projects they're working on. They have received much, but not all of what they were asking for. They will now receive better bonus payments, new transparency provisions, like disclosing project code names and genres, as well as whether projects will necessitate profanity, sexual content, violence, or racial slurs. It's a small victory in sometimes thankless field, Kotaku.com says. And that is the news.
That's the news.
So good for video game voice actors. I'm glad. Because I feel like if I was a voice actor, I would want to know where my voice is going, whether it's a rated M game, whether it's a teen game, whether it's racially whatever, you know. I feel like that's should be...
Yeah, if you put your stamp on something, you want to make sure that it's in line with your values.
And not use it inappropriately. Mm-hmm. Not use your voice inappropriately.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, that's a worry I have often as a voice professional is...
Well, you should be part of this whole SAG... Hold on, what's this?
No, I'm not that important.
SAGAFTR.
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 Quite.
They need a better acronym.
Easy acronym to remember. Way to go, guys.
All right, so our main topic this week, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun. This has been all over. It is Sci-Fi Channel's 25th anniversary, and one of the big things they were pushing is... what's your origin story? Because, of course, they're doing specials about how the network started, how they've managed the last 25 years, how they have produced some of the most groundbreaking sci-fi television in the history of the genre. But they're asking, what's your origin? And it kind of got me to thinking, what are our origins? Not as a podcast, not as a group coming together, you know, to justice, peace, all that jazz that we do here.
Justice and peace?
Yeah, sure, why not? Isn't that what we do? That? Are we not the Justice League?
Court of Nerds, justice and peace for all.
And stuff.
And stuff.
Justice and peace and naps.
Yeah, ooh, naps for sure.
Naps, I'm really
Mark
good
that
right
one
now.
Down.
I'm in.
Those are some platforms I can get behind. However, I just mean as individual nerds. Like, what got you started? What was that moment where you were like, yeah, this is my shit? You know, like Gwen Stefani. And she says, uh-huh, this is my shit.
Mm. Is it bananas?
Sometimes it's B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Other times, not so much. So I kind of asked some of our other nerd brethren to chime in. And I figured we'll start with a dramatic reading of Grant's origin
That's gonna be great.
Story.
So are here you we go. Reading this?
I'm going to read this.
Oh my goodness.
From an email from Grant. Do I remember my nerd origin story? Does a frog remember life underwater as a tadpole? Does a mountain remember its time before it simply was? I mean, shit, I'll try. I remember Super Friends, the animated adventures of the Justice League. I remember Scooby-Doo teaming up with Batman and Robin. I remember the original Secret War, and I remember seeing Pride of the X-Men. I remember getting small, rubber-headed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys before seeing an amazing animated version. I remember He-Man and his cohorts on television and their legions showing up in my living room. I remember squandering comic books my grandmother bought me at the local grocery store spinner rack. I remember Archie, TMNT at Arbor Drugs. I remember Marvel coloring books, sticker books, folders, and wrapping paper. This is really long, Grant. This is just about all the shit he remembers. This just, like, goes on and on.
I bet you wish you chose a different accent.
I really wish. No, I don't regret the accent. I just regret Grant.
Did you proofread this?
Hell
before?
No. Why would I proofread it? You think I got time for that shit?
It's his story. Why would you proofread it?
It's Grant's story. I can't, proofread it to see how long it is.
Well, that's what we should have done, because we're going to be here till night.
No, it's fine. I'll wrap it up. Don't worry about this. I remember stacks of computer paper I'd sneak from my dad's office, tearing off the sides and writing stories. I remember begging for packages of notebook paper to make my own comics. I remember Space Invaders giving me childhood anxiety. Oh, I skipped some. Oh, well. I remember trying to think of a name for my own publishing house. He's still doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of this is still Grant today.
Grant's House of Pain.
Yeah. I remember neon crayons and designing my own superheroes. I remember trying to make my own action figures of my favorite video games. I remember Space Invaders giving me childhood anxiety. It still gives him adult anxiety. And how my world was expanded by a guy who is now no longer Italian, nor is he a plumber.
Wait. He's not Italian anymore?
He also has nipples. He's got to be Italian. That's wrong. I remember reading the brief character backstories in the Street Fighter Sega games, seeing a playable version of Wolverine on Nintendo. I remember wondering what Spider-Man would do as a video game, if my black Spider-Man Secret War toy would be playable. What I don't remember is when it all lined up for me, when my interests in the fantastic collided and it was something I wanted to intertwine with my life. But somewhere along the way, it happened. That was a lot of shit to say nothing, Grant. Did he say anything in there?
He's a perfect politician.
But it totally reminded me of Austin Powers when they were in therapy with Princess Leia as the therapist. And he was telling, I was born in Belgium.
Remind me to slap Grant next time I see him for putting us through that.
She didn't actually say anything. Yes, we all remember things from our childhood, sure. But you don't remember the minute that this stuff grabbed you by the nads and just owned you? You don't remember, like, that... I can tell you the exact moment when this shit hit me.
Okay, segue time. Go, Drew.
Thanks, John.
Let's talk about you.
It baffles me that, like, this isn't a clear memory for some people. Like, I will not forget walking into Hofstetter's in Grand Haven with my grandmother and begging her to let me buy a DuckTales comic book. like begging. Like this was, I don't even remember, I might have been 5, 6 years old, just learned how to read. And I'm begging my grandmother to buy this comic book for me. And she looked at me just confused. Like, I guess so. But wouldn't you rather have, and this is the turning point, ladies and gentlemen, because I knew DuckTales. I'd watched DuckTales. I was familiar with DuckTales. My grandma looked at me and said, wouldn't you rather have this nice Archie comic book? Boom. There it was. Over. Done. Archie. Jughead. Veronica. Betty. I fell in love with all these characters and all their stories. And then I had to know what they were all about. But wait a minute. Why does Jughead love burgers so much? Why can't Archie choose between Betty and Veronica? It seems so easy.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not.
But that was what hooked me. That was what started this lifetime for me, was I wanted to read these books with pictures. And part of it stemmed from, and I will tell you guys this, I have no problem admitting it, my mother wanted me to read the Bible more, so she bought me a comic Bible. I read that damn thing from cover to cover. Read it from cover to cover. And I kept reading, and I wanted to read more comic books. And I think my obsession started when I was told that I couldn't read these things, or I couldn't have these things. Because, of course, you get older, Archie's not enough. You want Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You want Spawn. You want Batman. You want the stuff all your friends are reading. And you're like, they're not reading Archie. They think Archie's dumb. And my mom, being the good Christian woman that she is, nah, no Spawn. Now, I didn't have video games till I was 18. So I was obsessed with it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, couldn't watch the show, couldn't have the toys. But every time I went to my friend Brian Blaukamp's house, what did we do the whole time? Watch the show, play with the toys. So because I couldn't have the Ninja Turtle toys, I would take my stuffed animals and set them up in ninja situations and make up ninja stories for them. That's when I was hooked, man. It was that moment I wasn't supposed to have it, that it was counterculture. Being a nerd was something my mom didn't want me to be, so it was what I wanted to do.
Yeah, rabba.
What about you, John?
I just want to backtrack for a second. It says there is on the whole Star Trek Discovery thing, because I don't want to ruin anybody's lives over this. It says makes an awkward liftoff, one perhaps most notable for its commercial mission, which is to entice new subscribers to CBS All Access. So launched with a cliffhanger. The network's fledging streaming service, a shrewd way to attempt to hook fans and their hard-earned cash. So it might not only be on the streaming service, but anyway. There was a Christmas where, we'll go back, I guess my parents got divorced when I was pretty young. So I think my dad tried to do a lot of things to, like, you know, make life better. And there was one Christmas where, I don't know if he just got a sweet bonus from Steelcase or what it was, but every single present was brand new and 1977 versions of all the Star Wars toys. Everything. Luke, Obi-Wan, Vader, all with the lightsabers going into their arms. I had the Falcon. I had the AT-AT. I had all the big ships. Jabba had everything. And that's when my Star Wars nerdery took over.
Which is really the foundation of your nerdery.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I remember, going back to remembering, I remember staying at my grandparents a lot because my parents were divorced, and I got to stay up at my dad's parents later because they liked to watch the 11 o'clock news, so I got to stay up till about 11:35, or right when I guess it would be Leno came on, and so Toonami was showing Dragon Ball Z all the time, and that's when I got hooked on DBZ and started watching that. I remember playing Super Nintendo with my dad. I remember going to the Power Rangers movie. And I remember going to it's not a flea market, but it's like, the liquidation sales at the Deltaplex and buying, like, the first PlayStation 1. And it was like, man, oh, man. And, like, having come, even with the PlayStation 2, my dad was like, I want this, Dad. And he came home with, like, two controllers and memory cards. He's like, you said it was $200. You spent $500. I was like, I didn't have to buy all the extra stuff. Like, you know, so, I mean, that's where it kind of lies. Just kind of, especially with Legos, and God, I wish Kinects were still cool, because I would
don't
be.
Don't we all?
I would be playing with those way more than Legos if Kinects were still cool. Because I remember getting the Kinects roller coaster for Christmas one year, and I got to open one present Christmas Eve, and I knew exactly what it was because I picked it up and I was shaking it, and I was like, "This is the Kinects roller coaster." I ripped that bad boy open. It took me 18 hours to build it at freaking 10 years old whenever that thing came out. So I thought I got that thing up pretty quickly, and I was immersed in it. Just had a little motor, would go up the whole chain by itself, do the loop-de-loop, come back around. I had extra pieces, so I built more cars, had it timed out all perfect on the track, and that basically just immersed myself in that stuff. And not to get deep, but to basically bury the fact that my parents were divorced. And, you know, I used it as a coping mechanism. I used all my Star Wars toys. I used all my Legos. And I used all the video games as coping mechanisms. And I feel a lot of people do that. And I don't think it's a bad thing to... You're not hiding anything. You're just dealing with it in your own way. So a lot of my nerdery came because of the fact that I was, over at my grandparents' house a lot, had friends over, was playing video games, was building Kinects and Legos and playing with all my sweet Star Wars toys, watching VHSs on repeat while building Legos, like just... You know, hitting fast or hitting rewind or putting it in the rewind box.
You gotta have the rewinder, man.
Oh yeah, we were classy.
You gotta have the rewind.
But we had
box.
A console TV, so somebody sometimes would have to like either tape the cable connector from the Super Nintendo because it had to be at a certain angle, otherwise that shit wouldn't play. You couldn't get
things
it to
that
work.
Our children will never understand.
Oh, I just plug it in the HDMI cord. Blah blah blah. Get
back
out of
in
here.
My day.
Get out of here. Stacey, do you want to go next, or do we want to go to Sledge or Ben?
Why don't we do one of them, then me, and then we'll finish up with one of them.
All right, well, we'll go to Ben's, and Ben's will be another dramatic reading, if you will.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just going to read it. So this is our own Ben Raven, his origin story. I was insane about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to the point where I was Michelangelo 2 years in a row because my mom made me a homemade badass shell and orange cowl. Movies, cartoons, and that classic arcade game dominated a lot of my life growing up. While that obsession eventually tilted into books, Star Wars, and wrestling, it all kind of started with the Turtles and somehow Star Trek The Next Generation. For Star Trek, my grandparents would watch the show every night when I would stay up north, and they would let me watch it. It was one of the first things I can remember wanting to stay awake for. I was fascinated by the history and origins of these characters and their relation to the original characters that I wouldn't know much about until I was older. One of the first movies I remember seeing, other than The Lion King, is Star Trek First Contact. I was 8 and went to the movie theater in Reed City with my parents, aunts, uncles, and grandparents. See, that's a nice story. That's a good story.
Short and sweet. I like it.
That's nice. Grant, take notes from Ben. Be more like Ben.
Mine was depressing.
No. Yours was fine. You think yours is depressing, but dude, that's what happens. We turn to fantasy and sci-fi to escape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think I didn't want to get out of a house where my mom would only let me read the Bible and listen to Jesus radio? Mine's just less obviously sad.
32 years later.
Yeah, 32 years later. Back in that house! Still got the Jesus radio in the basement. No joke, I'm pretty sure she still has that thing. I'm going to go find it later.
You should. Take a picture.
Are you going to go office space on it?
No. Maybe. All right, Stacey, your turn. Origin stories.
Origin stories. All right. So if you ask my mother what I was like as a child... and I did.
Hey, remember we talked about how you have to have your mouth at the same
yes,
thing?
Yes, yeah, I had hair.
You cannot look down and talk at your boobs.
Okay, hair. Okay.
I'm sure they're wonderful. Don't talk
long,
at them.
Long hair problems. If you ask my mom, and I did, what I was like as a child, her exact words would be, and were, you were a weird kid.
Ain't shit changed.
Not much has changed. It for me, it was the Dollar Theater with my mom to go see The Mummy. That kicked off, I don't know how many years of Egypt, and I think the hieroglyphic flashcards that I made for myself.
I'm sorry, what? You made your own hieroglyphic flashcards?
I was like 8.
Dude, Brendan Fraser has that effect on people.
Brendan Fraser just does that to people.
Yeah, he was pretty fantastic. I can tell you where the theater is and which theater in the cinema we actually went to. Like, that is how vividly I remember that. So that kicked off learning about Egypt and getting super, super into that. And then when I was early teens, Harry Potter came out. And there's one other vivid memory of me playing Scenet Harry Potter with a group of friends in her parents' basement. And I freaking kicked all of their asses.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And I'm like, nobody plays with me Scenet Harry Potter anymore because I always win. So that was another one of those moments. But that's just kind of my personality. When I find something that kind of connects, I dive into it and I get really obsessed with it. And, you know, I'm okay in the basement by myself. It was so bad that I would, when a new Harry Potter book would come out, I would reread the entire series up until the day that it would come out. And it would take me less than, it got to a point where it would take me less than like 4 hours to read the first book. That's how quickly I went through them. So by the time book 7 came out, it took me 6 days to read all 6 Harry Potter books. And that was how I started getting into the nerdery. And the one thing that I love, and I told Mark Hodges this too when I interviewed to do the photography last year. I told him that, you know, I get really shy. I'm a really shy person, to which he laughed because I don't think that I come off as shy, but it's all a facade. Fake it till you make it.
And that's right.
I'm a really shy person. And the great thing about being a nerd and getting into this world that we're all in is that you can feel lost, you can feel alone, you can feel like you don't fit in anywhere, and I feel those things. I was recently diagnosed as autistic, a mild form of it, Asperger's this year, which we've made fun of on here, I think without people realizing. So it's easy to not feel like you connect with other humans and that you fit in, but you know, when you walk into Comic-Con, everyone there has felt that way at some point in their life. And that's why the nerd crowd is so nice to hang around with, because they've been there. They don't want to give that to other people. So it's really easy when you're, you know, you're kind of feeling lost, or your parents are divorced, or all you have is Jesus Radio. You know, it's just a very welcoming crowd of misfits, and they all adore and love you and accept you no matter what. And they listen to you because they know that you're going to listen to them. And it's just wonderful to see all the people who, you know, have similar origin stories to us, and they enjoy Comic-Con as much as we all do. And for me, that all started when I was like 8 years old in a movie 6 Dollar Theater matinee show with my mom watching The Mummy.
That was a good story. I liked that story. That was nice.
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
Really sent Stacy hurtling into womanhood.
He had some fun movies. What was it? Blast from the Past? Wasn't he in that movie?
With Alicia Silverstone.
Don't do this.
Where he was like in a nuclear bomb shelter or whatever.
Yeah, and he came out like 3 years
later. With Christopher Walken.
I need to find somebody to have a baby with.
Oh my God. Dial 9 to get out. Get out of where?
All right. Well, before my crew quotes the entire movie Blast from the Past, let's get down with Sledge's origin story featuring a special appearance from Finn.
Sorry, John.
And that's why I'm not allowed to buy saltpeter in New Jersey.
Chris Christie doesn't really like you.
The feeling's mutual.
Dad, how did you get like this?
Wait, what do you mean?
When did you know you were different?
It's good to be different most of the time. What are you getting at?
When did you know you were a nerd?
Oh, you want my origin story. Like what superheroes get.
Dad, You're not a superhero.
True, but neither was Peter Parker before he was bit by a radioactive spider.
Don't get sidetracked, Dad. This is a short segment.
Right. Well, I was different from other little boys that I hung around with. It was the fact that I was known for being a goody-two-shoes. That is to say, a kid that didn't get in much trouble when I was real little. That changed with puberty, go figure. But I, like many kids, love dinosaurs and space. But nerds tend to obsess about things that they like. Space became the direction I was pushed in because my parents were young Earth creationists, and the geological record is unsettling for those beliefs. Little did they know that astronomy and physics would lead me down the same road.
Dad, stay on topic.
Oh, okay. So, when I was in second grade, I joined the Young Astronauts After School Club. We looked at star charts, we went stargazing, we built and launched model rockets, and tried keeping our telescopes pointed up. Then I read a lot of early reader books about planets and stars and even cosmology. I remember having a book detailing stellar formation and star life cycles. I had a Sunday school teacher take it away because he claimed it taught evolution.
Dad, you're doing it again!
No, I don't think I am. You see, son, there are many different kinds of nerdery. In fact, you can be a nerd about anything. You love cars, you love looking at cars, you love driving in cars, and you love making engine sounds as you drive your toy cars. We call those people gearheads, but what they really are automotive nerds. That nerdiness drives you to learn more about a topic, even if people think that topic is silly, childish, or in my case, taboo. I love science. I still love science. I want to instill that love in you too. When you look through your telescope and you see galaxy M31 for the first time, and you realize that that light took 2.5 million years to get to you, and that galaxy is a lot like ours, and it's heading our way, and that at that very instant, there might be another being looking at the 2.5 million-year-old light that came from the Milky Way. That feeling of insignificance mixed with wonder and even pride, it's a tough feeling to replicate elsewhere. I want you to feel that too. Do you understand?
Dad, I'm 4. I just want more Legos.
All right, then. Let's go build something.
As always, Sledge brings it. If you guys aren't listening to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, you're missing out. There it is, guys. The origin stories of everyone who followed my assignment and submitted it. And the other two people who I forced to be here with me every week. Don't forget, we are the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 20th through the 22nd at DeVos, the Amway, and all over downtown. Mark Hodges and the crew are going to take over Grand Rapids. You want to be a part of it? Well, guess what? VIP tickets are already sold out.
Wow.
3-day passes are going fast. If you need tickets, you need to get them now. grcomiccon.com. Don't forget, you'll be able to grab Tom and Chi.
Yay! I cannot wait.
While you are at GR Comic Con. And you know someone as picky about their food as Stacy is excited for Tom
so
and Chi.
So freaking good.
And come see us too, right? Don't we get swag?
Oh yeah, we're going to be rocking some Tom and Chi gear. Yeah. We're going to be having a good time with our new friends, Tom and Chi in Granville. Like them on Facebook and tell them the Court of Nerds said hello. Until then, I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
And I'm John.
And we are your Court of Nerds.
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook, we're the Court of Nerds, on Twitter, @court_of_nerds, and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.